morning, we're going to be in Acts chapter 26, so if you want to turn there. I know this is that deer season weekend, and I'm guilty. I was thinking about going, but I'm at that point, you know, where you know one of these days your body's not going to want to go do it. And I'm not going to be healthy enough to climb up in that tree stand or strong enough to if I would ever kill one, to do take care of it. But, you know, as I think about getting to that point, my mind is already there. It's one thing to physically not be able to do it, but my mind is like, do you really want to get out when it's 29 degrees and climb up in that tree and set in the wind? And freeze to death, you know. But as I think about that, I think about all the times I've got to go hunting in the past and everything that I would do to prepare for going out hunting. And I thought, you know, that's a great weekend for this message. Because it talks about purpose. And so as I thought about, you know, when you're setting up to go hunting, it's not just get up and go out and that morning. You have to prepare ahead of time. I mean, I've known people that they wouldn't even let their wife sleep with them that weekend because you might have perfume on you and that would get on me. And so I've known people that would not let their spouse sleep with them because of that. And I know people that they start preparing food weeks in advance to take with them, and you're going to set in a tree or in a blind. And some people will, and I'm not going to call names, but they'll put heaters out in their blind to be able to stay warm. And they go through all this preparation because their one purpose is to be able to kill that deer. And to supply food for either for themselves or they donate it to somebody so that they can have it. But their whole purpose, all the things that they go through, are for the one purpose of killing that deer. And so as I thought about that to this message this morning, we're going to be talking about Paul and his defense before King Agrippa. And King Agrippa, it doesn't really say a whole lot about him in this passage, but he was not the nicest guy, and he did not have the most moral lifestyle. And so anyway, he is going to have Paul come and be on trial before him in this case. And Paul, he knows that a little bit about the Jewish history, and he knows about their religion. And so Paul is kind of excited that he's getting to talk in front of him. And so we're going to start reading. I'll just start in verse 1, and we'll read probably 18 verses this morning, but that's okay. It says, so in chapter 26, verse 1, it says, so Agrippa said to Paul, you have permission to speak for yourself. Then Paul stretched out his hand and made his defense. I consider myself fortunate that it is before you, King Agrippa, I am going to make my defense today against the accusations of the Jews, especially because you are familiar with the customs and the controversies of Jews. Therefore, I beg you, listen to me patiently. My manner of life from youth, spent from the beginning among my own nation and in Jerusalem, is known by all the Jews. They have known for a long time, if they are willing to testify, that according to the strictest party of our religion, I have lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand here on trial because of my hope in the promise God made to our fathers, to which our 12 tribes promised to God, to our fathers, to which our 12 tribes hope to attain as they earnestly worship night and day. As for this hope, I am accused by the Jews, O king. Why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priests, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in all the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme. And in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. In this connection, I journeyed to Damascus, with the authority and commission of the chief priests. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Is it hard for you to kick against the goads? And I said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and a witness to the things in which you have seen in me, and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes, so that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the opportunity to present it today. And Lord, I pray more than anything that your spirit would just take control. Lord, as we read this and as we talk about this, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd open our eyes. Open our eyes today for what it is for each of us. Lord, there's something here for all of us. Lord, use your word to be glorified yourself. But be glorified in us. Change us. Use us. Draw us closer to you. Lord, help us to do what you've called us to do. And Lord, if there's anyone in this place that doesn't know you, I pray that today might be the day that their eyes are opened. Lord, take over. In your name I pray. Amen. This passage, like I said, is Paul, and it tells a little bit. I read that much because, and not all of that has to do with the sermon today, but as much as anything, I wanted you to understand that that's where Paul had come from. He came from living this Pharisee type of a life to changing and turning to God because of a confrontation with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And this past week, we've been going through on Wednesdays, we've been going through what we call Route 66 Bible Study. And we've been going through all 66 books of the Bible. And we were in 1 Timothy this past week, and we were discussing it. But I was studying earlier in the week, and verse 16 in 1 Timothy, I believe it was chapter 2 that we were in, I think, but it said, This is the reason I chose you. And now verse 16 here in chapter 26, it says, But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for a purpose. Amen. God just smacked me in the head. He said, I've called each of you for a purpose. I've called each of you for a reason. I've shed my grace on you. I've shed my mercy on you for a reason. Amen. My first thought was so I could get to heaven. That's not the reason he shed his mercy and grace on me. That's not the reason he shed his mercy and grace on you either. As we look at this, there are some things that I want to be really pointed this morning with. He says, I appeared to you for a purpose. And that purpose was to appoint you as a servant and a witness to the things which you'll see, which you have seen, and you which will appear to you. We like to think that we are servants of God. People say, well, you're a pastor, you're a servant of God. Being a pastor doesn't make me a servant of God. Being a servant of God is one who truly serves God with everything they have. I can do things for God. I can preach sermons for God that I feel like God has given me, but to be a servant of God, a servant does not have an opportunity to do anything for themselves. A servant was someone that laid everything down, and the master of the house was the whole purpose for their day. And I wonder how often we truly are servants of God. Now, I know this is talking about Paul. This is what Jesus said to Paul on the road to Damascus. But I feel without a doubt that every person that God has called to be His child has that same purpose, has that same ministry. Because if the only reason God was going to send Jesus Christ to die on the cross was for us to be saved and go to heaven, then why in the world didn't He take me that day to heaven? Because I have caused Him a lot of heartaches every day since. There is a reason He's left me here. There's a reason He's left you here. And that is the purpose we're going to talk about today. To be that servant of His every day. When you get up of a morning, I want you to think, do you just say, I'm going to just take this day as it comes and I'm going to do whatever happens. I'm going to try to do good. I'm going to try to serve the Lord. I'm going to try, and whatever comes, I'm going to seek to do my best to honor God. That's probably where most of our mentality is. That's sometimes where my mentality is at. And I think I'm wrong. And I'll tell you why I think I'm wrong. Because if I'm a servant, my purpose is to serve God. It's not, okay, well, if I'm there and He needs coffee or He needs something done, I'll give it to Him. I will do my best when He's around. No, my purpose, my intention, my goal is to serve my Master. Do you wake up intentionally going into the day with an intention to serve God in every way? Maybe in ways you know ahead of time. You may have a business, and if you have a business, you know that you've got to put in a certain order by a certain time or it's not going to be delivered. You know that if you've got appointments, you have to be at that appointment by a certain time. Or if you're going to school, you have to be in this class at this time. And you have to be at practice at this time. And you have to have food on the table at this time. And we have things scheduled that we do every single day. How long has it been since you scheduled to do something for God? Well, I will do what I can when He wants me to. He wants you to all the time. The reason He's putting you in that class or in that job or at that appointment or wherever you are, the whole purpose is for you to be His servant. It's not so that I can have a good day or run a good business or have a good team. It is so that I can glorify God, that I can serve Him. And He calls me also, He says here to Paul, and it's to me too, it's to you. He says, to appoint you as a servant and a witness. Now, this is a little bit rougher. Because we don't like to talk to people about Jesus. That's too uncomfortable. Well, I can witness with my life. Yes, I can. Yes, you can. But the bottom line is, I can live my best life. And somebody out here that believes a different faith or has no faith at all, if they are a good person, they can live their best life and you can't tell us apart. If I'm going to be a witness, I have to testify for God. And sometimes we think, okay, on Sunday nights before service, we have a testimony time, a praise time, where we talk about what God has done in our lives and how He's blessed us and we'll get to hear these testimonies at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. How often do we truly testify about what God's doing for us? And He's called us to be a witness for Him. He saved me to be a witness for Him. He's appointed me to be a witness for Him. He has appointed you to be a witness for Him. Well, not any time the conversation comes up, I take his side. Sometimes that's what we think is a witness. You know, if there's an option, if it's choosing the devil or choosing God, well, I'm choosing God, and so that's a witness. He wants your life to be a witness. He has appointed us to be a witness. Man, why in the world would God appoint me or you? Now, we see what He done through Paul. We read what He's done through Paul's life. Man, He changed Paul's life from one that's persecuting and killing Christians to one that is drawing people to, to the feet of Jesus. And I can see how he can use him. But why would he want me to serve him? I can't do anything. Why would he want me to be a witness? People know me. They know I mess up. Why would he choose me? Why would he choose you? There's nothing special about us. That's the key. The fact that it's you and me, and the people that know me know that I cannot do this. The people that know you cannot do this. Whatever it is that God's called us to do, you can only do through His power. And when people see you, they know that can't be that person. I know them. That's got to be a God thing. That's what it's all about. Because if I do my best, that's worth, my very, very best is worthy of hell. My very best, your very best is worthy of hell. But because of the grace and the mercy and the power of God, He can take me and glorify Himself. He's called us to be witnesses. He's called us to be His servants. But why us? And what are we supposed to do? Let's go on. It says He appointed us to be servants and witnesses. He says down here, He says, I'm sending you to the Gentiles. He tells him that He's sending him to the Gentiles to open their eyes. He's sending Paul to these people that don't know anything about God to open their eyes. Now, physically, I cannot open someone's eyes. You know, if they're smaller than me, if they're a third grader, I might be able to set on them and pull their eyes apart. But that's not what we're talking about. He's talking about to spiritually open their eyes. And there is no way that I can open your eyes. I cannot do that. I can pray for you. I can talk to you. I can encourage you. I can read the Bible to you. But I cannot open your eyes. But He said He appointed Paul to be a servant and a witness. And He's sending them to the Gentiles to open their eyes. Well, if I can't open their eyes, then why is He sending me to them to open their eyes? That was my thought earlier this week. He's sending me to them to open their eyes. But like I said, my best can't open their eyes. He can open their eyes through us. That's where we've got to be. We've got to be that servant. We've got to be that witness so that when He works through us, and they see us, He will open their eyes. His desire is for each person to have their eyes open spiritually. I can't open your eyes. You can't open my eyes. But His purpose for us is to open their eyes. Why? Let's look at why. It says to open their eyes so that they may turn. They've got to open their own eyes. But the whole purpose that I live in front of them and you live in front of them and I testify to them and I serve Him by serving them is so that they may turn from darkness to light. First thing they get the chance to do, when they see Jesus Christ living in you, when you serve God and you witness to them and they turn and they open their eyes and they all of a sudden say, hey, why is this going on? What, something's different here. This person's living different. I don't understand it. And it begins to open their eyes. How do we do that? What's the purpose? Well, the purpose is so that they can turn from darkness to light. Okay, everybody close your eyes. I'm looking. You got to have them closed. There we go. Dave, you were a little late. Okay. Now, how many fingers do I have up? Don't look. You don't know, do you? Okay, you can open your eyes. You have no idea except for that one or two people that cheated. You can't tell how many fingers I have up if your eyes are not open. If a person's eyes are not open, they are never going to see Jesus in any way, shape, or form. God is the one that's going to have to open their eyes through us. God is going to open their eyes to see how you live. He's going to open their eyes to show them that something is there that's wrong. He's going to open their eyes in a way by using you as a servant and by using you as a witness to turn them from darkness to light. Now, if we took and we closed our eyes again, we closed them tight enough, and some of you did a real good job. You had them tight, so tight you could just like see the wrinkles on the side. Others of you are like, I'm going to, yeah, type of deal. But if we closed our eyes real tight and Darren turned off all the lights in here, you might see a little difference through our eyelids, but you couldn't see. And then when he turned the lights on, with your eyes still closed just as tight as they could be, you might feel a difference, but you still couldn't see. Where are you at spiritually? The only way you're going to know you're in the light is with your eyes open. I can be in the dark, and if it's pitch black, I can't see. I can't tell whether my eyes are open or shut. We used to do a thing in the youth group where we'd black out all the windows and we'd black out every place light could come in, and it would be so dark you could not see your hand in front of your face. And then we'd take and we'd light a candle, and before you knew it, the whole room was lit up. But man, it would be so dark you could almost feel it, that it was so dark. You couldn't tell if your eyes were open or shut. That's where people are around you every day spiritually. They don't know if their eyes are open or shut. And when they open their eyes and they realize, I'm missing something, and they have the opportunity to turn from that darkness to light, those same people, it goes on, it says that they turn from darkness to light and from power of Satan to God. They are actually in the power of Satan and they don't know it. They are in the power of sin and death in their life. They are a slave to sin and death until their eyes are open. But when their eyes become open, they can see the light. When their eyes become open, they can see that they're in the power of God and they can turn to God. They're a power of Satan, and they can turn to God. But until their eyes are open, they're not going to see light. Until their eyes are open, they're not going to realize that they are in the power of Satan. The Bible says the gospel is veiled to those that are perishing. They do not see it. They do not understand it because their eyes are not open. But man, at that moment that their eyes are open, it tells us what can happen. Says that they turn from God to Satan to God that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Man, before their eyes were open, they didn't even know they needed forgiveness of sin. But now that their eyes are open, they can receive forgiveness of sins. And it says that they can have a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And this is Jesus talking. He's saying, if they will open their eyes. It doesn't mean this is automatic. Understand that, because that was one thing God kind of laid on my heart this week as I'm reading this. Is we think, just because they open their eyes, does that mean all four of these things happen? No, it doesn't. Not at all. Because just because a person has their eyes open doesn't mean they turn from darkness. A lot of people like to live in darkness. It doesn't mean they turn from the power of Satan. It doesn't mean that their sins are forgiven. It doesn't mean that they have that place in heaven. It means that it's available to them. It's available to them to have those things once their eyes are opened. That last one right there where it says a place. They can have a place among those who are sanctified by me. You know what sanctification? That's one of those church words that we use. And basically, it's that process from the day that I accepted Christ and my filthiness till the day I stand before Him in heaven and I become like Him. That's when I'm sanctified. The getting better process, which I've got a long ways to go from where I was when I accepted Christ up until that time, that's called the sanctification process. It's a process of becoming more like Jesus. That's not what he says here. He says you have a place among those who are sanctified. A place among those who have been sanctified. And the only time that takes place is when you're at the feet of Jesus. He's saying that when your eyes are open, you have an opportunity to have a place at the feet of Jesus with everybody else that's sanctified. So if you can't do it and I can't do it, what do we do? Well, we have to serve and we have to witness. What is that? Well, let's look at what Paul did. I'm going to jump back a couple chapters here. So look in chapter 24. In 24, Paul is on trial earlier, and he's on trial here before Felix. And Felix didn't want to make the decisions, but anyway, same thing. Paul is on trial for testifying about Jesus. In verse 24, it says, "And some days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewish, and he sent for Paul, and he heard about Paul speaking to him about faith in Christ Jesus." Man, Paul was going to speak about faith in Christ Jesus. That was his witness. That was his testimony. He was going to share about faith in Jesus with this man that had his eyes closed. He didn't know anything. His eyes were closed. And Paul began to speak to him about faith in Christ Jesus, and he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. Paul, as he witnessed in his service for God, he did something that you and I don't want to do. He told Felix, who was living with somebody that wasn't, he shouldn't have been. And he says, he talks to him about righteousness. Righteousness can only come through grace, by faith in Jesus. Everybody at that time, and a big majority of people today think that they can get justification before God by doing something. If I obey the Ten Commandments, I can have justification. No, that's not what they're there for. If I live a really good life, if I'm a good person, if I give to poor and do those type of things, I can be right before God as long as I live a really good life for Him. No, you can't. Our righteousness, as good as we can get, the Bible tells us, is as filthy rags. It's terrible. It deserves hell. But he talks to him basically about righteousness by saying, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the only way you will ever attain righteousness. And you will never attain it. It will be credited to you by faith in Jesus. How long has it been since you told somebody that? You know, the only way you're going to get to heaven is by having righteousness before God. And the only way you're going to get that is by faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. It doesn't matter how good you are. Doesn't matter how good you've been. Doesn't matter how good your grandma was. Bottom line is you're going to hell unless you have righteousness before God. How long has it been since you witnessed to somebody and told them that? We don't do that. Maybe that's why their eyes aren't open. He goes on to talk about self-control. Self-control is just basically talking about sin. And if you can't control your body, if you can't control your mind, if you can't control your lust, then it's going to lead to sin. The lack of self-control in your body is going to lead to sin. And you and I cannot control our body without the power of Jesus Christ. Without the of God living in us, I am going to mess up. I still mess up. But by the grace of God, He takes care of that. But as Paul is witnessing to Felix, he's saying, you've got sin in your life. Ow. I don't have to do that, do I? I don't have to come up to people and say, you know, what you're doing, that's not right. You're a sinner and you're going to hell. No, that's not what he said. Because if you go back to that word earlier, it says that he reasoned to him about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. Reason means he talked to him in a nice way. He shared with him in a way to say, what you're doing is not going to work. You and I both fall short. The sin in your life that you're letting control your life, instead of by letting God control your life, that's not going to lead anywhere. That's not going to get you to heaven. And then he says, after he's talked to him about the only way to heaven is Jesus, and then he's talking to him about sin, which deserves death and hell, that's the witness, that's the testimony that we're supposed to share to these people that have their eyes closed. But he goes on to say there's judgment to come. We don't like that part. Because you don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. But you and I both know it's going to happen. Bottom line is, when he talks to him about the only way to heaven, everybody wants to talk about getting to heaven. We all want to get to heaven. You ask anybody, do you want to go to hell? They're going to tell you probably no, unless they're just high on something. But for the most part, everybody wants to go to heaven, so they might want to hear about the righteousness of Jesus, which can get them to heaven. And they might realize when you talk to them about the sin that's in their life, they might realize it's wrong, and I'll get to it. I'm trying to do my best, and I'm going to turn it over to God someday, but just not right now. They might acknowledge the fact that there's sin in their life. But this third part, the judgment to come, we don't know when it's going to happen. But we know it's going to happen. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. But the wages of sin is death. And when we look at that, we know that every sin is going to be paid for by death. There's no other way to put it. Every sin is going to be paid for by death. I praise God that my sin was paid for by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. If He paid for yours, praise God that He paid for yours. If Jesus Christ didn't pay for your sin, there's only one other person that's going to. And that's you. That's as blunt as I can put it. That's as basic as I can put it. But that's what Paul did to Felix. He talked about righteousness. He talked about self-control. And he said, judgment is coming. And we could get into all that about when it's coming and how we see it coming closer. Bottom line is, it's coming. Man, if that doesn't open their eyes, if we would do that, if we would talk about those three things to people, then that might give them a chance to open their eyes. Because look what it did to Felix. It opened his eyes. It says Felix was alarmed. You don't get alarmed unless you realize something's going on. You hear glass break in your house at 11 o'clock at night, you're alarmed. You know your eyes are wide open. You know something's about to happen or something just happened. Felix was alarmed at what he had just heard from Paul. When you share with people, they're going to have two choices. They're either going to be alarmed because they know they're not ready, or they're going to be excited with the fact that they are and turn to that point. But just because their eyes are open does not mean they're okay. Because look at Felix. It says, Felix was alarmed and said, go away for this present time. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you again. Some translations will say, go away until it's convenient. When it's convenient, I'll call you back. He had his eyes open about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. He knew it was real. He had saw Paul's life. And it opened his eyes, but his choice was, no, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And we never have any record in the Bible of Felix ever coming to salvation. So this morning, as we get ready to close, you might think, well, this message is maybe leaning one way or the other. Maybe it's leaning towards Christians, that we're supposed to be a better witness. We're supposed to be sharing our testimony. We're supposed to be serving. Yes, we are. But you know, there's a lot of times I felt like I was doing that till this passage opened my eyes to say, are you really talking to people about righteousness and judgment and self-control? Are you talking to people about that? Are you witnessing for God? Are you serving Him every day? Well, I'm living a pretty good life. That's not what this is talking about. It's talking about serving God with your whole life. It's talking about witnessing to people that have their eyes closed. But the problem is, our eyes are closed. We don't see that that's our purpose. That's our responsibility. That's our reason for grace. So as Christians, we need to get our eyes open and see what it's all about. Now, I know we've accepted Jesus. I know I have grace. I know I have a place with the sanctified. But am I living up to my purpose? Are you living up to your purpose? The reason He gave you grace is so that you could be a witness and a servant. And for those that are out here, and I'm sure there's some, that have never had their eyes open to truly understanding that somebody's going to pay for your sin. It's either Jesus or you. That's your choice. I can't do or say anything different, any plainer than that, that might open your eyes. It says that they may turn. It's up to you. You have to turn from the darkness you're living in. Because there's no darkness at all in Jesus. If you're walking in Jesus, it says there is no darkness at all. If you're not a Christian, then you are under the power of Satan. I don't know any other way to put that. But God wants to set you free. And when you are free, you will be free in Jesus Christ. And at that point, you have the option of forgiveness of all of your sins by acknowledging what He's done for you. And when you acknowledge what He's done for you, then you have the opportunity to have a place in heaven. But it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that where Jesus Himself is going to give a crown to those people that loved Him. Not just somebody standing at the door and you come by, here's your crown, keep going, here's your crown. No, it says Jesus Himself is going to hand you a crown for those that love Him, those that serve Him. You have an opportunity to have that place reserved for you in heaven. So you have no excuse today. Some people say, well, if somebody's never heard about Jesus, then are they still going to go to hell? The Bible says everyone is condemned until you accept Jesus Christ. Not depending on one day you'll make a decision. No, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, you stand condemned already. That's what the Bible tells us. My prayer this morning is for me as much as it is for you, that I will open my eyes to see those people that need to hear about righteousness and self-control and judgment to come, that I will not look past them, that I would be a servant, that I would be a witness and serve God with the purpose for which He created me and saved me. And my prayer is that if you don't know Jesus Christ, you are without excuse. You know what He's done for you. You're going to either accept that or reject it. Today's your choice to accept it. I pray that our eyes are open. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for loving us. I thank you for, Lord, putting it bluntly right before us. Because sometimes, Lord, I need it that way. Lord, watch over us. Lord, help us to have eyes that see. See where we're at. See where the world's at. But most importantly, see where you're at. I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.